Let's have a word of prayer, please, before we look at the scriptures together. Father, we want to thank you that we can commit ourselves to you this morning in the confidence that you are a God who speaks through your Son, a God who by your Holy Spirit wants to bring your word to our hearts. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would watch over us as we read your word and hear it taught and preached this morning. Lord, draw near to us. May each one of us be able to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Amen. One more notice, which actually I'm sorry I forgot to give out. Neil has asked me to remind parents, please, immediately after the sermon today, please will you go at the end of the meeting and collect your children from the small hall if that's where they are, so that then we're free to have the teas and coffees there. So Psalm 25, we're just going to read the first part of two psalms this morning, the first of which is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Keep your finger there, please, and go to Psalm 62, the 62nd Psalm. And we'll read the first few verses of these as well. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul silently waits for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Amen. There is a phrase that comes in both those psalms and in a number of the psalms, actually, and other passages in the scripture, which says something like this. My soul, wait on God. Or I'm going to wait on God, or a command or an encouragement to wait on God. And I was thinking about this a few days ago, and I thought it would be good just to consider it, really. We have a mindset. I mean, I don't know what you immediately think of that phrase if I talk about waiting on God. I think we have an incorrect mindset. Some of us think it's a kind of a mystical state of mind or whatever, where we're doing nothing. So if you say, I'm waiting on God, you're sort of doing absolutely nothing and just sort of waiting for a voice. The other incorrect mindset that we have is that it excludes other activities. So you're either waiting on God, or you're doing the housework, or doing the cooking, or you're working, or whatever it is. But those things are excluded from what the Bible calls waiting on God. And of course, that immediately produces a conflict in our minds. I think some of us have it. We think, well, I'm torn, but I've got things I need to be doing. And I'm also, I know that I should be waiting on God, and yet I can't do both. We have an incorrect mindset. We also have an incorrect understanding of what it means So some of us emphasize the waiting, and we think actually it's really just to do with patience and we have to wait. Actually, there's an element of truth in that, because your version for both those Psalms and for others that we may look at today will either be waiting on God or waiting for God. And it's not always clear what the sense is. It could mean either. I'm going to take the meaning of waiting on the Lord, but there is a legitimate understanding that we need to have, that we need to learn to wait for the Lord. For example, Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. And it's something that we need to learn to do. But to simply think that that's all that is involved, that you're waiting for him, that is an incorrect understanding. Another incorrect understanding is that it is to do entirely with serving the Lord, rather like a waiter waits on the people who are having dinner, or a servant waits on his master. Now again, there is an element of truth in that, and there is a psalm that speaks about that as well. As the eyes of a servant look to the hand of his master, so our eyes wait upon you. We are to wait on the Lord and to serve him. It certainly includes that, but that's not the whole thing. So would you look please at Psalm 25 and verse 5. And I realise that your version may say for the Lord, but the Authorised Version, which is the version that the Apostle Paul used, and all the great saints of old, and the new, they either use that or the New King James. It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait. And there's this little phrase, all the day. So what, really by way of introduction, to draw your attention that actually waiting on the Lord is something that is going to encompass the whole of your life. I want you to begin to have the kind of mindset that views everything that you do as waiting on God. Now we'll consider what that means in a moment or two. But if you view it like that, then you can begin to ask the question, well, am I waiting on the Lord by doing whatever? And if the answer is no, then you need to stop doing it. Or review how you do it. But the psalmist says here, On you I wait all the day long. And friends, if you grasp that or begin to understand that, it will liberate you. Because instead of being torn this way and that and saying, well, how long does the Lord want me to wait on him? For half an hour, 20 minutes or 5 minutes? Instead of thinking like that, your whole life is one glorious wait on the Lord. And so it may be because you've had a late night the night before, that the Lord allows you to sleep in, and you think, Lord, thank you very much, I shall just have a little doze this morning, that's fine. And so you've got another commitment that day, so it may be on a particular day that your time with the Lord, waiting on him, in inverted commas, is only 5 or 10 minutes. Now please, I'd be really worried if that's what happened every single day. But we can relax. If that's waiting on the Lord, learn to wait upon the Lord. Let me give you an example, if I may, just from a personal testimony. Our summer was, I suppose, manic in many ways, for all sorts of reasons. Not least because we had our daughter's wedding 2 days later. We had the Young Adults Week. There were just a whole host of things. I won't go into the details about it. And I can honestly say, it's my testimony, I experienced what it was to wait on the Lord. So, for example, there was one day, various things needed to be done and to prepare. And one of the things that needed to be done was I needed to have a haircut. Well, because we do need to have a haircut, us men, but ladies, you can let your hair grow. It needed to be done. I hadn't a clue when it was going to be squeezed in. Now, the trouble is, if you don't have your haircut done at the end of the afternoon, then it's during the rush hour and other people around there. Anyway, I came to the Lord to prepare for the Young Adults Week, to wait on the Lord. And as I began to pray, and say, now, Lord, how would you have me just to handle today? What is it that you have for me today? Remembering, of course, that the Lord Jesus said, don't be anxious about the morrow. So all we're to do, he's just saying, is learn to wait on me today. Learn to serve me today. And as I waited on the Lord, I can only say, I felt the Lord saying, go and get your hair cut. No, I mean, I could have said, oh, but I mean, I need to prepare for young adults. So I did. I got my hair cut and everything else slotted in that day and it all got done. Praise the Lord. Now, it's part of walking in the Spirit. It's part of learning to live with the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's really all I'm saying. So that's an example. But it's something that grasp hold. You know, don't compartmentalize your relationship with God from the rest of your life, in a way. Now, this is fairly obvious and fairly basic, but I think really some of us need our minds renewed. So, I want to speak about waiting on God. Three things, and they all begin with P. Promise and priority. You can take both of them together. So there are four. Promise and priority, secondly, position, and thirdly, some practicalities. Okay, so let's look at promises and priorities, first of all. Verse 3, indeed, and we're going to take all these, and I'm going to be disciplined about this, I'm going to restrict our looking to our study, looking at the Psalms, and I'm going to restrict the study to looking at when it talks about waiting on the Lord, as opposed to for the Lord. So there are plenty of scriptures that you could already add to this, but I'm just going to keep it to those ones on the whole. So verse 3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. One of the promises, the results of waiting on the Lord, is that there is no need to be ashamed. Now, friends, this is really important, because in the first letter of John in the New Testament, it talks in chapter 2 and verse 28 about the return of the Lord like this. Only it's moved. And now, little children, I found it, it's appeared again. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, do you see, it's really important. If we're not going to be ashamed of the Lord when he returns, we need to learn to wait on the Lord. And it's part of abiding in him. And the result of this, it will bring you a confidence. If you learn to do this, it will bring you a confidence. Because it says we may be confident and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So there's the first thing, no shame. And you find it again, verse 3, let those who be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And then the next verses. Waiting on the Lord is key to experiencing, to knowing God leading us and teaching us. If you don't know how to wait on God, you won't know God leading you and teaching you. Verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Is there any one of you that is echoing that prayer in your hearts? Show me your ways, O Lord. Is that the longing of your hearts? God is a marvelous teacher, but he can only give you the teaching and the instruction if you give him the attention. If you turn up for lessons. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. That is how God wants to lead us. And if you're living in error or deception, make no mistake about it, it's not God who's leading you. He leads you in what is genuinely from him. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. This is key to knowing God's salvation. That is God's deliverance, his work in our lives in a thorough and a complete way, affecting every aspect of our lives. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Hope you begin to see something of the promises and the priorities that we should be giving to waiting on the Lord. And then the very end of the psalm, the last verse says this: let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Integrity, if we wait on the Lord, these two qualities will begin to get a hold of us. Integrity in the Hebrew means completeness, if you like, a shalom, a well-being here. And an uprightness is an evenness or a straightness. You know, we've just been singing those words from that psalm, from that song, I think it was from Isaiah chapter 40, about how God straightens the crooked places. Straightens the crooked paths and he raises up the valleys and so on. There will be an evenness about your life. God will straighten you out, and God will straighten your life out in front of you if you learn to wait on him. Marvellous. Suppose confirmation for what I should share this morning came on Wednesday at our prayer and information meeting, when somebody in his prayer with honestly confessed to being really discouraged as to various things that were happening in the country, until he said the Lord, until he read this verse, or the Lord reminded him of this verse, which I'm going to give you now. So we're going to move away from Psalm 25. You can keep going right. We're going to move forward. Verse 14 says this: wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, friend, it is a command. This is not an option. This is not for the super spiritual. This is not for the keenies. This is a command for every single Christian. And it's something that we have to learn to do. And, sorry? The reference was Psalm 27. Pay attention, please, at the back. Psalm 27. Excuse me. I'm speaking. Apologies. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Have you all got it now? Right. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. I'll read it again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's a command, and it's reiterated. Friends, if God says something twice, he means us to pay attention. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. The promise here is that if we wait on the Lord, is that he will strengthen your heart. And your heart includes your conscience, your mind, your will, your emotions. And friends, if you're an emotional wreck this morning, for whatever reason, just wait on the Lord. Get into his presence. And you remember probably that wonderful promise in the end of Isaiah chapter 40. Because where it says that even the young men will grow weary and tired, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think it's the walking that's hardest, really. It's the kind of day to day, you know, we can have those experiences when we're flying high like eagles, and then the next day we have to run a bit, and the next day it's a plod. But the Lord can give you strength. And when he says give you strength, it literally means they shall change their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall change their strength. Not just renew it, you'll exchange it. God is not wanting just to renew your strength as if you've got the strength to do anything. He's wanting actually your strength to be put out of the way, if you don't mind, and for him to give you his strength. And waiting on the Lord is the means by which he will impart strength to your heart. And then Psalm 37, again moving forward. Psalm 37 and verse 14. That is Psalm 37 and verse 14. Just in case anybody wasn't listening. Actually, don't listen. It's the same psalm, but it's verse 34. I couldn't read my writing. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. What precious promises these are. Not only for your strength to be renewed, but here that he will bring you into all his purposes. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Now friends, it won't happen overnight. Exalting you to inherit the land means that it will happen eventually, but not immediately. And it takes time. And the New Testament says, and the Old Testament as well, but New Testament 1 Peter 5 says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt. Wait on the Lord, and what is the result of this? You will keep his way. Well, if you've been paying attention to the psalm that we read before, it's as you wait on the Lord that he will teach you his way. As you wait on the Lord, he will instruct you, and then you will be able to keep his way. He will teach us, and then we will be able to keep his way. Well, what is the way of the Lord? I'm going to at least suggest to you, if you want to pursue this further, that it is the first 9 verses of this psalm. This whole psalm is really about learning to walk in the ways of the Lord and the difference between the righteous and the wicked. So let's just have a very brief look. Do not fret. What is the way of the Lord? What is he wanting to teach you as you wait on him? Number one, verse one, don't fret. Don't get envious. Don't fret means don't get hot under the collar. And if you're the sort of person who reads the news, looks at something or other, hears some event that's happening somewhere, and you get in a total lather about it, you're not waiting on the Lord. He says, don't fret. Neither be envious. Wish your life was something a bit different. Verse 3. And the reason for that is because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. This is his way. Rely on him. Lean on him. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Here's the way of the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's verse 5. Learn to commit your way, literally to roll your way onto the Lord. So do you see, as you're waiting on the Lord, and as you begin to understand what God wants you to do, you then commit that way to him. Lord, I'm going to go and get my hair cut. Or whatever it is. And you just trust him and you commit it to him. And he will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Please notice that. We'll come back to it in a moment or two in Psalm 62. Wait patiently for him, or wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Cease from anger, verse 8, and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, and here's the promise, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Well, are you learning those things? This is the way of the Lord. And as you learn those things in verses 1 to 9, you will come into all the blessing that God has for you. Well, those are some of the promises and priorities of waiting on God. Now, second section of this, is we need to understand the position that we are to be in when we do wait on the Lord. So Psalm 62, which was the second reading that we had. Psalm 62. Now, the New King James says, truly my soul silently waits for God. Your version may have something very much the same. That is because literally the Hebrew means to be at rest. So the position that we are to wait on God is one of rest. Now, this challenges, I think, some of us to the core for all sorts of varied and different reasons. But if you're the sort of person who is easily distracted, Get rid of the distractions. Commit them to the Lord. If you're the sort of person who's easily anxious and torn this way and that, do what it says in Psalm 37, which we've just read. Roll those burdens on the Lord. Commit them to the Lord. You can pray about them and worry about them later. Do you remember what the Lord said? Just by worrying about them isn't going to make the situation any better. It's not going to add one hair to your head or not. I mean, just leave it. So that is to be our position. We are to be in, it's to affect us in our spirits. We're to be at rest. Psalm 62 again. Truly, would you notice that word there? Or alternatively, only. And we're going to take both words. Truly, my soul. That is, this is our position. This is to be a genuine relationship with the Lord. Now please stop trying to kid God or pull the wool over his eyes and think, oh Lord, I'm waiting upon you, when actually you know John away, you're not. Truly, my soul, come into the real thing. Truly, my soul waits on the Lord, or for the Lord. It could also be translated, and it is in the margin of the Authorized Version, only my soul waits on the Lord. It's not only to be genuine, it's to be an exclusive relationship as well. It's reiterated in verse 5 in the Authorized, wait thou only upon God. This is to be an exclusive relationship. Friends, if you are waiting on God and waiting on others as well, in the sense of trying to please them and serve them, if there's this dichotomy in your mindset, well, I'm doing this bit of my life for God, but you know, I'm doing this bit of my life because I need to cook cook the meal for the children or whatever. That's a wrong mindset. What you're doing for the children is you're doing it for the Lord. It's to affect absolutely every part of your life. So wait on God. You are called to serve him exclusively. Think about it. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. And then on to verse 5. My soul. Now, sometimes we need to take ourselves in hand. Would you notice who is speaking here? It's David who's speaking. And who's he speaking to? He's speaking to David, isn't he? He's talking to himself. I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones, that great preacher and pastor at Westminster Chapel. I think he said this, if I can remember the exact words. You must, bless you, you must talk to yourself, speak to your soul, or your soul will start to speak to you. What he's trying to say is, speak to your soul, wait only on God. Otherwise, your emotions and everything else will start to dictate to you. You need to speak to your soul. My soul, wait thou only on God. And the only there is not just an exclusive thing. It really means it's to do with security. Wait thou only on God. He is our security. He is our certainty. And the reason for that, it goes on, of course, to say, he only is my rock. Friends, this is the encouragement. This is our position. From which or by which we can wait on God is because he is our rock. Now friends, if he is not your rock, make him your rock. That's what David had to do. Make him your rock. He is, of course, your rock, but you need to make him your rock as well. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do you see, he's the only one who can bring you through life. Some of you have started at school, college. Yes, things might be great to start off with. I'm delighted that they are. But friends, it is only the Lord who's going to carry you through. It is only the Lord who's going to keep you in the place. Some of you starting jobs, new jobs or whatever, some of you at work, it is only the Lord, and thank God he can. He can keep you. He is your salvation. He wants you to experience his salvation in whatever context of your life you are in, whether it's work or whatever. God is the God of our salvation. And he is my defense. And if at college or work somebody accuses you of X, Y, or Z, and you are waiting on God, and you know that you are right with the Lord, and you've got nothing to be ashamed of, don't get into a fight and answer back. Let the Lord be your defense. He will defend you. He will justify you. Friends, you've got nothing to lose if you wait on God. In God is my salvation. And I haven't looked at other versions, but I think this is tremendous. In God is my salvation. What it's saying is if you remain in God, he is your salvation. Do you understand? If you're a Christian, you are in Christ. Everything is in him. So if you abide in him, if you remain in him is your salvation. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is, in what position? Is in him. So be in him. Stay in him. And don't let anything get you out of him. That's to be our position. And thirdly, the third section of this, some practicalities. And what I'm going to do here is I'm now going to give you something of the meaning of the Hebrew words in some of the Psalms, because I think they will explain to you something of what practically is involved in waiting on the Lord. And I will draw out, I think, four things here. I'm intending to be very practical. I'm not going to cover everything, but in case some of you are now thinking, I can't wait, how do I do it? All right, let's just draw out some things. So the first thing to understand, the first thing is that the Hebrew word in Psalm 62, as I've alluded to when it says, truly my soul waits on God or waits in silence, is that the word is to do there with being still. And we need to learn to be still before the Lord. So the practical outworking of this, I've already mentioned it really, is cast your anxieties on the Lord. Commit them to him. Don't be fretting about X, Y, and Z. Just commit them to the Lord. Learn to be still. Psalm 46, isn't it, says, be still and know that I am God. And actually that word for be still really means just to let go, drop the matter. Let it drop. Some of you are holding on to your anxieties and it's stopping you in your relationship to the Lord because you won't let go. Friends, this is what Mary did. I mean, would that Martha had done the same thing. All right, they may not have had a meal, but they would have learned far more if they'd just been at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Let things go. Be still. Truly my soul waits on the Lord. And very similarly, it really means to be dumb or to be silent. And actually, you know, part of waiting on God is that we do need, it goes on in Psalm 62, it says, trust in him at all times, you people, pour out your hearts before him. Friends, there are certain times we need to pour out our hearts to the Lord. Some of us sort of hang on to our gripes and our moans and our anxieties instead of telling the Lord about it. I mean, you don't need me to tell you basic psychology is that a problem shared is a problem halved. If you've got a problem, it's good to talk to somebody about it. Very good. Well, talk to the Lord about it. You can talk to somebody else as well, but talk to the Lord about it. Tell him, pour out your heart to the Lord about it. And if you're saying, well, how do I do that? Well, get alone. How do I do that? Go for a walk. Just find a place and just talk to him honestly and openly. There is a psalm, secondly. There's a psalm 104 and verse 27. That says this. These all wait upon you, that you may give them their food in due season. And the word in the Hebrew there means to expect, to look with longing. So here the picture is of creation, all looking to the one who's going to provide for them. Friends, do you believe that the Lord can provide for you? You do need to have those times with the Lord, waiting on God, joking apart, actually. You do need to have the times with the Lord when you feed on him. And when you look at the scripture, you come to him and you look to him and you're expectant. Say, Lord, what have you got to teach me today through your word? That's part of waiting upon God. It's not exclusively to be your waiting on God, but it's a very important part of it. Waiting on the Lord, that you learn to draw from him. Let him nourish you through the word. And as part of that, friends, can I urge you in the strongest possible way I can to deal with two things that will militate against your waiting upon God. Number one is unbelief. And I know perfectly well that there are some of you who are not experiencing this relationship with the Lord because basically you don't believe that he can feed you. You don't believe he can provide for you. You don't believe that he can handle your anxieties. Friend, he can. And unbelief will rob you of all the provision that God has for you as you wait on him. So come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you can teach me. I believe you can help me. I believe you can instruct me. I believe you can give me an inheritance. And the second thing that militates against our waiting on God is doubt. So don't give in to either of those two things. Don't doubt the word of God. And then the third thing, practically. There's a Hebrew word in all the verses we've been looking at in Psalm 25, Psalm 27, Psalm 37 and Isaiah 40. The word for waiting on God is really describing a rope that is twisted and bound. So the cords, the strands of the rope are linked together and they form the strength of that particular rope or cord. And so really the word comes to mean to be strong or to be robust. And friend, what I want to say to you is your waiting on God is a means for your strength. And therefore, do everything to the Lord. Be clinging to him, be holding to him, and let him hold on to you. Hold fast to that relationship to the Lord. And then in another word, in which we won't look at, but I'll give you the one reference, Psalm 33 in verse 20. The word means to adhere to or to carve out. So basically, involve the Lord in everything that you do. Do everything to the Lord. Wait on him all the day long. And then moving on, another Hebrew word means to guard or to attend to. So yes, we do need to attend to the Lord. We do need to view ourselves as the servants of God, looking to him and asking of him to give us such a relationship with him that actually we can recognize what he's telling us to do. Psalm 59 verse 9, you'll find that there. So friends, learn to develop that kind of relationship with the Lord. It won't happen overnight. But my encouragement to you is to start to do it if you haven't already begun. And if you have begun, continue in it. And this is where the patience is. And let's finish with the scripture in Psalm 40 that I mentioned, because it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Literally, it means this. In waiting, I waited. I think this is tremendous. You know, we can wait in different ways, can't we? You're waiting for a train and it's late and you've got an appointment at the other end. You are waiting for a train. But are you waiting? No, you're not. In waiting, you have to wait. And we have to learn to wait. And the best that the translators could bring up, could come up with, is I waited patiently for the Lord. Learn to wait patiently for him. Learn to wait patiently on him. And he will incline his ear to your cry. He will help you. He will enable you. Well, are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting on him all the day long? Or only part of the day? Learn to wait on him. Such blessings abound to those who learn to do it. Let's pray, please.